Right. Let's dive into this article from Discover Jesus called Loving God Instead of Fearing God.
Okay.
It's all about like how our view of God has shifted, you know, from like fear and trembling to a relationship built on love.
Yeah.
It's really, it makes you think, how did fear shape early religion?
Yeah.
What does it mean to have a relationship with God based on love instead of fear?
Right.
Like, how does that even work?
Well, what's really fascinating about this article is how it traces the evolution of belief.
Okay.
It paints a picture of, you know, our ancestors trying to understand the world around them.
Mm.
Storms, disease, death, all these like unexplainable forces, right?
Right.
They attributed these things to like spirits, ghosts, eventually leading to a concept of God, but one rooted in fear.
So it's like fear was the first language of spirituality.
Exactly. It was about appeasing these powerful, often unpredictable forces.
Right.
But as humans evolved, so did their understanding. Oh. Think about it. Even in the Bible, the concept of God changes over time.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, there's a lot of emphasis on God's wrath and the need for obedience out of fear.
Right. But then Jesus arrives and he kind of flips the script.
Okay.
He doesn't deny God's power.
Right.
But he emphasizes a different aspect. God as a loving father.
Okay.
And the article argues that this shift wasn't arbitrary.
Interesting.
Jesus himself explains that fear was necessary for early humans.
Hmm.
But with deeper knowledge comes something far more profound, love and trust.
Okay, so fear was like a stepping stone.
Yeah.
A way to grasp the concept of a higher power until humanity was ready for a more mature understanding.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
And it's fascinating how the article uses the analogy of a good father.
Yeah.
Think about it. A loving parent wants the best for their children, supports them, and yes, sometimes disciplines them, but always out of love.
That makes me wonder.
Yeah.
If God is like a loving father, how does that change our approach to prayer?
Oh, that's a good question.
Do we still approach him with like fear and trembling?
Right.
Or is it more like a conversation with someone who deeply cares for us?
That's where things get really interesting. The article suggests that prayer becomes less about begging for favors or trying to avoid punishment and more about connecting with a loving parent who wants to hear our joys, our sorrows, our hopes, and our fears.
This idea of a loving God has profound implications, doesn't it?
It really does.
It's not just about feeling warm and fuzzy.
Right.
It's about how we understand God's actions, how we interpret events in our lives, and even how we treat others.
Absolutely.
But what about those who still cling to the idea of God as a judge, waiting to punish us for our sins?
That's a great question, and we'll dive deeper into how Jesus addressed that in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
But for now, let's think about this shift from fear to love in the context of the kingdom of heaven.
Ah, yes. Is it still this hierarchical structure with God as a king demanding obedience?
Right.
Or does this concept of a loving father change that image?
That's where the article really challenges our preconceived notions.
Okay.
It argues that the kingdom of heaven is less like a monarchy and more like a family.
Interesting.
We're not subjects cowering before a king, but sons and daughters gathered around a loving father.
So instead of fear and trembling, there's a sense of belonging, of being loved and accepted unconditionally.
Exactly. It's a radical shift in perspective that has huge implications for how we understand our relationship with God and with each other.
I can see that.
But we'll unpack that more in the next part of our deep dive.
I can't wait to delve further into those implications. It's amazing how this article from Discover Jesus has already sparked so many questions and insights.
It really is.
I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, me too. Picking up on that idea of the kingdom of heaven as a family, the article highlights how Jesus constantly challenged the fear-based rituals of his time. Remember how we talked about ancient sacrifices offered out of fear?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus emphasized that God doesn't desire empty rituals or offerings born out of fear.
Right.
Instead, he wants a genuine heart connection with us.
So it's not about performing the right actions, but about cultivating an inner transformation.
Precisely. The article uses a powerful image to illustrate this. Imagine a child's relationship with their parents.
Okay.
A child who loves their parents doesn't obey out of fear of punishment.
Right.
They obey out of respect, trust, and a desire to please.
That makes sense. It's like we're shifting from a transactional relationship with God to a truly relational one.
Yeah.
We're not trying to earn brownie points or avoid his wrath.
Exactly.
We're simply responding to his love with love. But if we're honest, life can throw some curveballs our way.
For sure.
There are times when fear feels almost inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
How do we reconcile this message of fear not with the very real struggles and anxieties we face?
That's a crucial point, and the article doesn't shy away from it. It acknowledges that believing in God doesn't magically shield us from hardship.
Okay.
In fact, it specifically says that following Jesus' teachings doesn't guarantee a life free from trouble.
So what's the point then?
Right.
If we're still going to experience challenges, what difference does this shift from fear to love really make?
The difference lies in how we navigate those challenges. When we're ruled by fear, we react out of panic, doubt, and despair.
Right.
But when our foundation is love, we can tap into a deeper well of strength, resilience, and hope.
So it's like trading a shaky foundation for solid bedrock.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
We're not denying the storms.
Right.
We're trusting that we have an anchor that will hold us steady.
Exactly. And to help us navigate those storms, the article reminds us that we have a powerful ally in this journey.
Okay.
The indwelling spirit of God.
Wait, hold on. Let's unpack that for a second.
Yeah.
What exactly is the indwelling spirit?
Yeah.
How do we know it's there?
It's a fascinating concept, and the article describes it as a gift bestowed upon us by Jesus. This spirit guides our spiritual growth and helps us navigate life's complexities.
Yeah.
It might manifest as a sense of peace in the midst of chaos, an intuition guiding us towards the right decision, or a surge of courage when we need it most.
So it's not something we conjure up.
Right.
It's a gift, a presence that's already within us.
Precisely. And what's even more intriguing is the transformative potential of this indwelling spirit.
Okay.
The article suggests that it can lead us from our humble human origins toward a state of divinity.
Whoa, are we talking about becoming gods?
Not in a literal sense, but the article hints at a profound spiritual evolution that's possible when we align ourselves with God's love and allow his spirit to work within us.
That's right.
It suggests that our souls, reborn through this divine connection, can ascend to the presence of the eternal Father.
That's a powerful image.
Yeah.
It's like we're being invited to participate in our own spiritual growth.
Yeah.
To become more than we ever thought possible.
Exactly. And the article emphasizes that this transformation isn't about achieving superhuman status or escaping the realities of human experience. It's about embracing our true nature as children of God, living in alignment with his love, and allowing that love to guide our every step.
Wow. We've covered so much ground.
We have.
From the historical evolution of our understanding of God to this profound shift from fear to love that Jesus champions, and even touched on the transformative power of the indwelling spirit.
And it's important to remember that this isn't just theoretical knowledge.
Right.
It's an invitation to a new way of being, a new way of relating to God and the world around us.
Okay, but let's get practical for a moment.
Sure.
How do we take these profound concepts and integrate them into our everyday lives?
Yeah.
How do we move from head knowledge to heart transformation?
That's the million-dollar question. And the article offers some valuable clues. It emphasizes the importance of complete honesty, genuine trust in God's guidance, and a willingness to let go of fear and embrace love. But it also acknowledges there's no one-size-fits-all answer.
It sounds like a lifelong journey, a constant process of learning, growing, and deepening our connection with God.
It is.
But at least now we have a better map to guide us.
And remember, you're not alone in this journey. You have the indwelling spirit of God, the teachings of Jesus, and a community of fellow travelers to support you along the way.
This Discover Jesus article has really opened up new perspectives on my faith.
And it leads to a thought-provoking question. If fear was the driving force behind early religion, what role does love play in shaping our faith today? How does it influence our actions, our relationships, and our outlook on the world?
That's a great question to ponder as we wrap up this part of our deep dive. Stay tuned, folks. We'll explore that very question in the final part. Welcome back to our deep dive on this Discover Jesus article all about loving God instead of fearing him. We've talked about, you know, how our view of God has like evolved from fear to love.
Right.
And how Jesus like championed that whole transformation.
Yeah.
But now I want to like tackle this question that's been hanging around.
Okay.
If fear was like the catalyst for early religion.
Right.
What role does love play in shaping our faith today?
Well, the article suggests that love doesn't just replace fear, it completely transforms our approach to faith.
Okay.
Think back to that analogy of the kingdom of heaven as a family.
Okay.
In a loving family, obedience isn't driven by fear of punishment.
Right.
It comes from a place of respect, trust, and a desire to please.
So it's less about following rules out of fear,
right,
and more about aligning ourselves with God's will because we understand and trust his love for us.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that God isn't a distant, authoritarian figure waiting to punish us. He's a loving father who wants the best for us, guiding us with compassion and understanding.
That makes me think about all the stories in the Bible where Jesus heals people or forgives sins. It's like he's constantly demonstrating God's love in action, showing us that it's not about earning God's favor,
right,
but about accepting his grace.
Absolutely. And the article emphasizes how this radical love challenges the traditional concept of humility.
Yeah.
It's not about self-deprecation or groveling before a wrathful God.
Mm-hmm.
It's about recognizing our inherent worth as beloved children and responding to God's love with gratitude and a desire to grow.
It's like the whole idea of the fear of the Lord is being redefined.
Yeah.
It's not about cowering in terror,
right?
But approaching God with awe and reverence.
Mm-hmm.
We acknowledge his power and majesty, but also understand his deep love for us.
Exactly. And this shift has huge implications for how we live. When fear drives us, we focus on avoiding punishment, playing it safe, and following rules to the letter.
Okay.
But when love is at the core, it empowers us to act with courage, compassion, and a desire to make the world better.
It sounds like this shift isn't just about our personal relationship with God. It affects how we interact with others and engage with the world around us.
You're absolutely right. The article highlights that understanding God's love inspires us to reflect that same love in our actions and relationships.
Okay.
It's about treating others with kindness, forgiveness, and understanding just as God treats us.
It's like we're moving from a religion of scarcity and fear to a faith rooted in abundance and love.
Beautifully put. And this shift can be incredibly liberating. When we're not consumed by fear, we're free to embrace our true potential and step into the fullness of who we are as children of God.
This deep dive has been truly eye-opening. We explored the evolution of our understanding of God, the importance of embracing a relationship based on love, and the power of trusting in God's goodness.
It's clear that this journey from fear to love isn't a one-time event, but a lifelong process. It's about constantly deepening our understanding, challenging our assumptions, and allowing God's love to transform us from the inside out.
And as we wrap up this exploration of loving God instead of fearing God, I have one final question for our listeners.
Okay.
If love truly is the driving force behind our faith, how will you allow that love to shape your thoughts, your actions, and your relationships in the world?
That's something for each of us to ponder. But remember, you're not alone. You have the indwelling Spirit of God, the teachings of Jesus, and a community of fellow travelers to support you along the way.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking truth with an open heart.